All right, members, we'll get started. Sorry, slight delay. First of all, we'll take the apologies. I have Councillor Loughran, the chairperson, Mulgrew, and Councillor Dorn. Fitzpatrick.
Hannah.
I'd like to welcome the Dunpatrick Scouts here in the back row. They have a good interest in local politics and citizenship, and they're here tonight to see how local democracy works. I hope it does work. So I hope you enjoy your visit. You're very welcome. So we have a one-item agenda, and it's the Department for Infrastructure Roads Interim Report, and Simon Richardson will be delivering the report. He's along with him is his colleagues Stephen Duffy and Ian Campbell. You're very welcome, gentlemen. So I'll hand over to you, Simon, and you go through your report.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks for the opportunity to update you on the DFA Roads Annual Report 17-18. As the Chair said, my name is Simon Richardson and I'm the Divisional Manager, Roads Manager for the Southern Division of DFA Roads. Accompanied tonight by Stephen Duffy, who you will all know from our Castle and Avon office, who deals with the eastern side of the district. I'm also accompanied by Ian Campbell, who is new to his position, and he deals with the western side of the district, the maintenance office on the western side, and he's based in Newry. And Ian has replaced Cindy Noble, who worked in our Newry office for quite some time. Cindy was successful in a promotion competition and has moved on to greater and bigger things, so I wish her well. As many of you will have known, and I'd just like to recognise the fact that Cindy has done a lot of good work in this councillor area over many years, and I'd like to wish her well. And I'd also like to take this opportunity to wish Ian well in his new role here in Newry Moreland Down. I hope you all have received a copy of the interim annual report, which provides updated information on the programme of work we set out in the springtime. At the spring meeting, I spent some time setting out the budget position within the department and the impact it was likely to have on the delivery of services in the district. I do not want to labour the budget pressures again, but I can quickly update you on the latest position. The department has not received any significant additional capital funding to allow us to add to our initial programme of capital schemes listed in the report. We have also not received any additional resource money, and we have therefore had to continue with our limited service for routine maintenance operations. This means a limited service in relation to gully cleaning, road markings, street light repairs, road and footway patching, grass cutting, and the maintenance of traffic signals. During the summer season just passed, we were able to provide a weed spraying service, and we did cut all grass at least once. Sight lines and junctions were cut more than once as required, and we are continuing to clean our gullies at least once during the year, with known hotspots receiving additional attention as required. As I did say in the springtime, we understand the implications of the limited service and its long-term impacts on the network. However, we have to work within the allocated budgets provided to us, and we are trying to deliver the best service we can with the money available. You may have heard recently in the news that the department did receive additional £11.2 million of capital and £3 million in resource. However, £8 million of the capital and £1 million of the resource was used to address the damage caused by the extensive flooding in the northwest in August. The balance of the money is being used to fund other departmental pressures, including street lighting and resurfacing across the four DFA roads divisions. However, a shortfall still remains in resource and capital funding for roads maintenance, and the department will continue to seek additional monies when the opportunity arises. I can confirm, however, on a positive note, the department has now been able to allocate the necessary funding to the winter service budget, and I can therefore confirm that it is the department's intention to provide a normal winter service as in previous years. Indeed, the necessary staff and plant have been on standby since the start of October. However, no gridding has been required so far. Just at this point, I would like to give a special mention to all DFA staff and the council staff who work with closely who dealt with the significant number of fallen and damaged trees last week as a result of ex-Hurricane Ophelia. This was very much a multi-agency operation and resulted in all roads being reopened in a relatively short period of time. Before I move on to the report itself, I would like to highlight some good news, some rather significant good news actually. I can confirm the department is set to receive €2.85 million, approximately £2.55 million, in European funding for the design stages of two road projects in Southern Division. Up to €1.35 million has been allocated to the design of the Newry Southern Relief Road, which is obviously in this council area. This represents 50% of the funding required to complete the design stages of the project. We have now moved into stage two of the three-stage design process for the scheme. Stage two will identify the preferred option, which will in turn identify the line of the road. When stage two is complete, we will then move on to stage three, which is the detailed design part of the scheme. The EU funding will help us take us up to the completion of that stage. It must be stressed, however, that this funding is for design purposes only. It is not allocated for construction costs. I'm also delighted to say that a further €1.5 million has been allocated for improvements to the A1 Belfast to Dublin road between Lochbrickland and Hillsborough. This will include four new flyover type junctions with a new northbound on-slip at the Castlewell Road junction in Banbridge. Now, I realise this work is not within this council area. However, as it is a key link into this council area, I believe it will have a positive impact on the citizens of this district. Again, this funding is for design purposes only, not construction. And now on to the report. Section 1 details our strategic road improvements. On page 7, we give an update on the Ballinahinch Bypass. We are currently working on the procurement strategy, and we will then move on to preparing the contract documentation, which in turn will allow us to go to tender when funding is available. On page 8, we refer to the Newry Southern Relief Road. I've already updated you on the EU funding position, but I can also confirm that we will be holding 2 days of public information events in Newry to inform the public of the current position of the scheme. These events will highlight the two corridors being taken forward into stage two of the design and will give everyone an opportunity to comment on the options. We will also be holding information events for councillors and other public representatives in advance of these public events to give you the opportunity to see and comment on the plans. We are working with the council to arrange these events, and you will be informed of the arrangements through council officials. I would like to thank the chief executive and staff for the help we have received in setting up these events. Page 9 makes reference to the Downpatrick Eastern Distributor Road. I can bring you right up to speed and tell you that we have now received the feasibility study from a consultant. So it is real, and we have just received it. But as we only have just received it, we will be completing our own scrutiny of the report and clarifying any technical issues that we may have with the consultants. We will then release the information to council and to any other elected reps who want the information. On to section 2, which details our maintenance work. Page 14 refers to winter service, and as I have said previously, we intend to provide a similar service to last year. Pages 15 to 18 gives an update on the latest position against each planned resurfacing scheme and other schemes listed on our programme. Firstly, on page 15, I must correct one piece of information in the report in relation to the resurfacing scheme on the A25 Newtown Road, Canada. This is not yet complete, as stated in the report. Rather, we are on site at the moment completing the prep work, and the resurfacing elements will begin within the next few days. This will be completed in early November. We've made good progress through our resurfacing programme, and indeed, this will be substantially complete in November. Our strategy this year has been to complete the programme early in the year and bid for additional money to add schemes to the programme. I can inform you that we are ready to bring forward additional schemes if and when additional money becomes available. On to section 3 of the report, which updates our network development schemes. Pages 20 and 21 detail two schemes in Downpatrick. The first is Fountain Street Road Widening and Traffic Calming, which is now complete and operating well. The second is the proposed junction improvement at Collins Corner. We've been working with Council to bring forward this scheme at the earliest opportunity, and I can confirm that we still intend to deliver this work in this financial year. P Page 23 then details the completed footway scheme on the A22 Killyleagh Road in Downpatrick. Pages 25 and 26 refer to controlled pedestrian crossings, and as you can see in page 25, the crossing in Main Street across Gower has already been upgraded. And I can confirm that it is our intention to provide the two new crossings detailed in page 26, one at Murray Road Hilltown and Main Street Dundrum, both this year. Page 30 details the completion of the extension to the park and share facility at Clock, and I can confirm it is our intention to further extend the park and share facility at Sheepbridge on the A1 dual carriageway. And on to the last page of the report, where we have an update on the Strangford Ferry service. The service has operated extremely well during the first 6 months of this financial year, with only 7 sailings being lost due to mechanical or staffing issues out of a total of 12,345 scheduled sailings. Finally, I know you've all had the opportunity to meet my officials today, either in Murray this morning or in Downpatrick this afternoon. I hope you found that helpful, and any feedback from those meetings would be greatly appreciated so we can add to the way we deliver our service going forward at these meetings. Any queries that you raise at those meetings will be replied to in a similar fashion to the last time, and we will be providing those through council in a combined report. Sure, that concludes my presentation, and obviously I'm happy to take any questions on the report.
So, thanks very much, Simon, and thanks for bringing that welcome news about the design revenue funding for the major schemes in the area as well. The way I'm going to approach this is I'm going to take a DA, so Robbie, you have to turn your light up.
You should be on.
And these have just handed to me, there's nothing to do with me. So, we're going on, first of all, is Crat Leave. Any questions from Crat Leave?
Chair.
Thank
you, Chair. No, it's just to thank Simon and for his report here today. We did get the chance to meet with Ian and his team this morning, and there was a good exchange of information, so look forward to seeing some of those requests actually action, Chair. So, and once again, welcome the opportunities here that Roads to bring to the Chamber here to allow these issues to be brought forward. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Councillor Tanley. No other Crabley? No? I think most of the workshops probably dealt with most of the issues. So, see anybody else? No, we'll move on to Downpatrick. Councillor Henry?
Thanks, Chairperson. You're correct. We had an extensive round of questions and answers in our pre-meeting meeting, which was very useful. Thank you very much. Once again, thanks to the Castle Nevin crew for their wonderful help during the year. One thing, though, we weren't able to tackle in our pre-meeting meeting was the state of the one-way system in Downpatrick. And as we understand it, the decision around about the land surrounding the police station and the opening up of the town centre car park and the creation of the one-way system is now in the hands of a council consultant. I'm just wondering what role Road Service is playing in this, given the fact you'll be delivering the one-way system there.
I'll take them all and then let them send. Councillor Corden?
Well, I'm delighted to hear that the afternoon session, I must say, was very good too as well. I answered a lot of questions that we had there, so it's no good doing it here tonight. But I just, as I was sitting in the afternoon, so I want to thank Stephen Duffy and Gordon for all the work that they've done and helped me throughout the year. But having said that, you said this evening there that the Collins' Corner project scheme was going ahead. I was led to believe from this afternoon's meeting, maybe I picked it up wrong, that there's a problem in relation to land there. And has that problem been solved? And the other one is, I think, as my colleague has said, there, traffic congestion in Downpatrick has increased, unfortunately, and it's making it very difficult for businesses to be attracted here. So I would wonder what the overall situation is as far as traffic congestion in the town is.
Okay, thanks, Dana, for that. Any other Downpatrick councillors? Councillor Traynor.
Thank you very much, Chair. There was a couple of projects that had been on, that had been included in the report, and that were taken off due to operational difficulties. One was in the Ballinbarra Road, the other in St Patrick's Way, and the other on the Bonecastle Road. And it's just really, I'm just trying to ascertain what the operational difficulties are, and will that be coming back on then to the programme of work at a future time?
Okay, thanks, Councillor. Okay, Sam.
Councillor Enright's point in relation to the one-way system, probably I can take in conjunction with the issue about traffic congestion in Downpatrick. We are working with the Council and Department for Communities in a development project for the police station site, how that is best developed. That may or may not include a link road through the site, depending on what the development proposal is. We're putting our input to Council and the DSC through continued meetings, and we will provide any input that we need to take those forward. One of the issues in relation to the whole Downpatrick, that links into the whole Downpatrick traffic management study, and the one-way system that we had looked at with the link road, that was one of the options that we did look at. One of the other options was providing new traffic signals in Downpatrick, a MOVA system, which is linked to traffic flows and is a more intelligent system at all the key junctions throughout the town. So that, from a roads perspective, that would be our main proposal in relation to trying to manage traffic in a more productive way and trying to drive out savings that way. In relation to Collins Corner, yes, there is a land issue. We are hopeful of trying to resolve that. And I give you an update that we're hoping to deliver it this year, and we are trying to push it through this year, and we're working to do that. So with a fair wind, yes, the outcome will be that we will deliver that project. There are a number of operational difficulties which we have with some of our schemes. The intention is to overcome those operational difficulties. If you don't mind, I will get Stephen to write to you with the reason behind them and what we intend to do to take those forward.
That's fine. Happy enough, members? Councillor Coyne?
Just in relation to the land at Collins Corner, I was led to believe that there should be no problem there, because the developer that's developing the Downey site, with the number of houses on the Downey site, had referred to your service withdrawn that scheme because you wanted to use the money elsewhere. But he had assured me that there was be no problem with yourselves as far as you acquired lands for the development of the Collins Corner.
I think that's why I tried to sound as positive as it did in relation to the Collins Corner, because I do think there's an outcome there. I welcome that your opinion is that you've got that information as well. So hopefully that will come and we will be able to take the scheme forward as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yuri, DA?
A couple of things. Apologies, I wasn't able to make the meeting this morning, Chair. It was a clash, but I emailed in my the matters that I wanted to talk about, so I look forward to the response. Is DFA roads now the working is title now? Is Transport NI gone as a title? It's we're sure as councillors getting used to it, and God help the ordinary people out on the street. But I think if that is the new title, I think it's important that we would stick with that for a while, because it is exceptionally confusing for people out there, not to mention the poor councillors. So if that's what the title is, that's can we stick with that one for a while? The other thing, and I'm sure my colleagues would want to come in as well on the Sullivan Relief Road. Chair, I mean, it is absolutely fantastic and well overdue to see some progress on this. As someone who lives and works on quite close to that Kilmurray Street, Warren Point Road area in Newry, to see the volume of the HCV traffic, where we're great to see trade now on the Warren Point Port doing very well, it's fantastic. But the reality is we have a high level of pollution and traffic build up in what is an old, very old residential street. We had the Jury Carriageway, which between Warren Point and Newry, which opened, Terence O'Neill, I think, opened in the 1960s. and really there's been no progress on that route since. So I would certainly welcome, and I hope that it's just not a report that it moves on when we do get the report on it, that we do actually see progress to a road, because it'll transform not only businesses but the lives of the citizens of Newry and the surrounding area. Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree. Councillor Savage.
Yeah. Sure. Again, I'd like to thank Ian and the team for the engagement we had this morning. There's a couple of issues I didn't get covering, and I'll just touch on them briefly. But firstly, in relation to the Southern Relief Road, this has been a very welcome development. What I would ask would be, there's been some discussion about the original sort of projected costs of this scheme being sort of astronomical in the early stages, and there has been some sort of muted comments made that, based on what we're looking at now, is two potential new corridors to be looked at as part of the consultation programme, that the scheme, the cost of the scheme would have been significantly lower now than what had originally been anticipated. And what I would ask would be, on that basis, is it a lot lower than originally anticipated, based on, obviously there's a lot of design work to be done, but based on the routes that we're looking at, and would this make it more amenable to potentially getting funding that's needed, that this can be a reality that we're driving on it within this decade, as opposed to maybe sitting 25, 30 years down the line waiting on it. Sure, the other issue relates to the A1 in relation to the stretch between Five Ways Roundabout and the Fork Hill Road Junction. I'm a resident in that area, and it was very remiss of me not to raise that. For I've had several complaints ongoing for a long time in relation to noise pollution along the back of Dunbray and Glen Bay. They're the housing developments that would be most prominently connected between the railway, back on the railway line, and are very close to the main road. I'm one of the end houses that actually backs on that, so I declare an interest and be able to tell you that from experience there is a huge noise pollution problem there, and I'm aware that during the last two local ministers that we had in Danny Kennedy and Conor Murphy, that this was raised by a number of the residents in the area and appears to have gone nowhere. I would like to get some sort of an update. Is there any measures that can be made there to make life a little bit more bearable for the residents? Those who are potentially thinking of moving on at retirement age now are fearful that the value of their property has dropped as a result of it. And the other issue, again, coming off the A1 down Dorans Hill, it has become a significant rat run into Newry City. And there is a very bad junction, old road, that really is not fit for the volume of traffic that it's taking. And I know there is housing developments in that planned in the area over the coming months and years. But at the junction of where it meets Watson's Road and the bridge there, I would actually use that road myself on a regular basis. There's been so many near collisions there, it's not funny. And the other, what I was looking for to see is there, because there's a lot of people coming in from Dublin, etc., and using that as a rat run, could we get some sort of signage up that it's a dangerous bend ahead coming from both ends? And there's also an issue in relation to the river that runs under the bridge there. There's quite a gaping hole, or there was up the last week, in the fence. Coming from the Newry town side, that if somebody had to swerve to divert or to avoid an oncoming vehicle, they could end up very easily in the river. And I was just wondering if there was any chance of some sort of barrier there. Sorry, those are the two issues, Chair.
Sorry, thank you.
Right, thank you.
Councillor Casey.
Ian, all our best wishes and in his new role. And if you could just pass on at senior level to Cindy, we wish her well in our new post, and I have to say, as far as our party's concerned, she was always very professional and very businesslike in her responses to any issue we raised, and we wish her well. I don't want to raise any of the issues again, but I'll wait with bated breath to see how most of the issues we raised are addressed. Something I forgot to raise this morning was something I had asked before, is a review of the traffic system in Newry. There are some streets in Newry that are two-way. We could actually make them one-way. I'm talking about one in Corn Market in particular. Now, some of the traders might not necessarily want that to happen, but if we're talking about improving traffic movement and allowing people to get to do their shopping as easy as possible, so it's worth reviewing the traffic management and traffic light system in the town. So thanks again. I wish you well.
Okay, thanks, John. All right. Simon, I think that's us for the area. Responses.
Okay. In relation to our name, we are, when the new departments were put in place 18 months ago now, the departments received different functions or responsibilities for different functions, and it was felt that Transport NI, we used to be Road Service, and we're still called Road Service by a lot of people. We then moved to Transport NI because the functions that we took on there are related to some public transport issues. On the establishment of the Department for Infrastructure, those transport issues were moved out of where we are, so we're now back to, we're now actually DFA Roads and Rivers, and the amalgamation of that was really to try and deal with flooding issues more coherently and more effectively. And from the work that we've done, particularly in the Northwest recently, has proved very effective. So flooding really is under one department, and that's why the Roads and Rivers was brought together. So we've probably gone full circle from Road Service to DFA Roads, but I think the roads element of what we do is back in the title. So Transport NI probably isn't defunct yet because it's still in a lot of our material, but I think the movement will be the DFA Roads, and we will retain that. In relation to the Murray Sullivan Relief Road, I mean, the money that we've got is, you know, there's a commitment there obviously to take forward the design stages of the project. Myself, we're all engineers on this side, and you know, we're really excited about a scheme of this nature and the magnitude of it, so we would love to take it forward, and that's what we intend to do. Councillor Savage, in relation to the cost, yes, I mean, in relation to the first feasibility study, there were four corridors, one being a very high-level bridge, which was extremely expensive, and then that reduced down to other various options. The two corridors that are being taken forward at the moment, option four was in the original feasibility study, although it is extended further down the estuary, down the lock, as the corridors widen the corridor. And the other crossing then is a new corridor, which is option five within the new report. So option four and option five are being taken forward into phase two, stage two, sorry, and that will be on show at our public information event in November. Costs, obviously, if the costs are lesser, there's more likelihood that the cost benefit then of the scheme improves, and there's more likelihood that the scheme could be delivered. So we will be looking at all options to deliver the right scheme, but also bring it in at a cost that is deliverable also, because we have to compete against other schemes right across the four divisions. In relation to the A1 from the Five Ways down to Fork Hill, I will come back to you on the noise pollution issue that you have. I'm also looking at Dorans Hill and Watson's Road. I was glad you said there's a big hole in the fence. I thought you were going to say there's a big hole in the bridge, and that would have been a different story. But I am very familiar with that location, and we will come back to you, particularly in relation to the signage. The signage may be a short-term issue in relation to providing something on that road. In relation to Councillor Casey, thank you. I'll pass on your comments about Cindy. I'll be speaking to her, so we'll pass that on. In relation to an overall review of Newry in relation to traffic signals, one-way systems, that's probably something that's not on our radar at this moment in time. However, you did talk about phasing of the traffic signals, and we are looking at trying to upgrade some of the traffic signals coming down through Bridge Street there and in that location. So we are looking at the move of traffic signals, which are the more intelligent systems. We're trying to use those. So that's what I can offer you. I'm not so sure that we are anywhere near going through a major review of the whole of Newry City at this minute in time.
Okay, thanks, Sam. Move on to Steve Crude there. Councillor Morning.
Yeah, thanks. Again, it was a good session earlier on, and thank you for that. So one issue just that keeps getting brought up at the moment, and it probably relates more to roads that have been closed for a number of weeks around the Phoenix Gas Works, And people may be forgetting just how bad the road was prior to them starting work on it. But they're coming back and blaming Phoenix for the condition of the road after the works. I'm thinking of the Grove Road in particular, the number of weeks that it was closed for. Like, I always recall it being a bumpy road. But I suppose the question to you is, like, do a check of the roads before they go on to it, and then a check afterwards and to ensure that they have been reinstated to the right condition? And I suppose bumps can't arrive just because somebody's digging a hole, or maybe you'll tell me they can, or... But that's the only real issue I had left that I didn't get covered this morning.
Good, thanks for
that. I'll tell you, if there is an update just on the funding, the element of the bypass, it would be great to hear.
Thanks, Councillor Moore. Councillor Craig?
Yes, thank you, Chair. And thanks, Simon, for the report. I appreciate it very much. And to local staff, to Stephen Duffy and Hugh Morgan, they're always very willing to meet on site and to discuss issues. I appreciate that indeed. And also your willingness, Simon, to send representatives to community planning meetings. That's very much appreciated too. Important bit of work that as well. Essentially, just a couple of sort of fairly generic points. And I appreciate the opportunity this afternoon to meet your staff as well and more specific items. But more generically, when it gets down to grass cutting, I know that we're down to one cut in urban and rural areas, and sight lines will be recut as necessary. It's extremely difficult to get round every road junction and minor roads in the country. And I appreciate that they're not all cut, but I'm just wondering, is there any way that you can identify particular health and safety concerns in minor road junctions where the sight lines are important to safety, and how you would identify those even going forward? The other one is a general one too about gully cleaning. I know we're down to once a year there. There are certain areas where gullies have been blocked for a considerable time, and they're given rise again to health and safety considerations, flooding, even denying people access to their homes. So I'm just wondering, any way to identify, even for us as councillors, to help us to identify what, you know, prioritise and turn pass on to yourself, indicate that there is a serious issue could result from block gullies.
Thanks, Scott. You want to take them now?
In relation to Phoenix and the gasworks, we obviously do inspect the roads before the Phoenix go into them. Some of the roads are in poor condition before they go in, and I haven't got a chance to speak to Stephen, but I know in certainly one location we have come to an agreement with Phoenix whereby they will, once they finish the work, we will go in and surface dress the road. So some of the roads we can work together if they're particularly bad condition before they go in. I'm not sure, was it Grove Road you mentioned? I'm not sure what the condition, I don't know what it is, but we can come back to you on that. But yet,
right.
Okay. In relation to funding for the bypass, I have no information in relation to, there's no funding at this moment in time. Obviously, we're in a good position to take the scheme forward if and when the funding becomes available. And as I've said many times at this council, I will progress the scheme as far as I can take it and try and be ready for the funding coming. So that's always been my intention. But as yet, I have no further update on that. In relation to grass cutting, the resource budget is what it is, which you've heard me moaning about for quite some time. And it is one cut with sight lines as and when required. We rely on our inspectors and our staff who are on the ground identifying the minor all junctions, including minor road junctions that may need to be cut. We rely on the public informing us of that as well. So we have our own eyes and ears, but the public and yourselves are as well. So that's how we pick up that information. Gully cleaning is a difficulty for us. Some gullies, when we go to clean them, are particularly well blocked and don't.
not possible to do a normal gully clean where you just suck out the debris with the suction machine. It's a dig out, which takes us more time to do, and it can be very difficult. So it's unfortunately the position we're in, and as I said in my speaking notes, we have to work within the budgets we're allocated, and some of that means that we can't use external contractors and we use our own internal staff. Unfortunately, I can't give you any good news on that front, but that's where we are. Sad, unfortunately. Sorry.
Okay, thanks. Move on to Rowena. Councillor Burgess, you went first. Well, you go ahead, you went first. I'm letting you go. Turn your light off, darling.
Gentlemen, thanks very much for, you've done a lot of good work around the Rowena area this time, and definitely give you a few more jobs out of the day, and hope you might get those done as well. And it's good news to hear that the Ballinahinch bypass is ready to go. It's a matter of getting the money. And hopefully in the next round of funding that money will come in place. And it's good to see that the A7 at Doran's Rock, that the design work and the environmental assessment has been now mostly completed. I hope within that there that maybe there's a piece of land actually set aside for slow traffic to pull in. Because on the Ballygown Road, you're making an excellent job down there, but you've done away with the two places that we used to be able to pull into with the slow-moving traffic, as now you've put a high curb where there used to be two places where the slow vehicles could get off the road. And hopefully if that ends within that A7, that you will make that provision. And is there anything that we can do before that scheme is completed in the Ballygown Road to put the two slow overtaken places in there before you put the high curbs on it? Sure, thank you.
Okay, Councillor Walker.
Sure, thank you very much. And Stephen, I would also ask you to take back to your staff at Castle Navan the excellent work they do, particularly Hugh and Joe Leakey and Hugh Morgan, and that, as Councillor Craig had alluded to, you just have to lift the phone and you'll get a meeting with them in the office or a site meeting on site, you know, and that means a lot, so it does, to myself and other councillors that we can meet with you on the ground. In relation to the Ballinahinch bypass, welcome the fact that we're starting to progress, we're moving forward slowly, so we are. The public inquiry has been concluded in that, and it looks like all systems go. In relation to the bypass, except for funding, I do hope that you are in a position to maybe put a bid in for funds whenever, as you know, our party has secured 1 billion, 500 million for roads projects and that. And hopefully when that filters down in to the system, whether it be our own ministers that is going to administer it, whether it be a civil servant or whether it be a direct rural minister, we need to be up there in the pecking order looking for 30 to 40 million to carry this scheme out. So we do, because the money will be coming. Make no mistake about that. The money will be coming down the line, and we need to be ready. So we do in relation to it. And just one other point in your report on the bypass. In layman's terms, what is developing a procurement strategy for the scheme?
All right. Thanks, Billy. Councillor Andrews.
Well, thanks very much, Chair. First of all, again, I think it's certainly a bit like parks tonight, but again, Simon, you'll be sick of going back to Castle Am to say how good the staff are there, you know, particularly Stephen, Hugh, and Joe, and Street Light and all. For you saw on traffic management in Rathkelty, you all do a first class job, you know. And as I say, just a couple of concerns were raised is about gully emptying and grass cutting, you know. Maybe in the forthcoming 12 months, maybe you'll get funding for those there. But you know, and then another issue too that I always go on about is about unemployment, especially with so many people out of work, and the way a lot of the roads and all are. I remember in 1987 when I worked in road service, and Castle Navan was 120 odd industrials who used to go out in the yellow lorries and do a lot of work around the countryside and down the roads, and in those days when you had the intensity of industrial labourers there, even down to gully emptying, I remember counting there was about 20,000 gullies in 1987. I had to go through the books and put them down where they were. Just shows the magnitude of the staff that maybe if there was a recruitment with the Department of Employment or whatever, just to try to get people who are unemployed who would love a job and to work in the Lakeside Road Service or the council here. But on going through your report, I'm delighted that some of the issues that have been raised have become reality and plans are afoot for more work to be done. You know, in relation to the pedestrian crossing in my own village across Scottsdale, very much welcomed. And if that's what's going to kill and the next year or so, I know myself and other councillors have campaigned and lobbied for a pedestrian crossing in Killay. Well, if cross guards aren't going to go by, Killay will be doing well. And also on the issues with park and ride, you know, a lot of people are resort to Cairns Hill. It's a success, but maybe somewhere between cross guard, probably between Downpatrick and Sinfield, maybe for a location for park and ride. But, and again, do take on board the financial constraints that we are all in and appreciate your difficulties at what you have to work with those limited resources. But as I said this afternoon, I've already given you a list as long as my arm for my area. But again, thanks for working with you and the team. And if you're talking about names and abbreviations, I thought of a couple. Differ or Differs for your new title. But good luck and thanks very much.
All right. Thanks, Terry. Hi.
All right. Thanks, Chair. Simon, well, thank you for your report and your team. Appreciate it. Rawal Thorns Rock A7, maybe you could tell me, in preparation for your investment, when do you propose to discuss with landowners who will be impacted by the A7 upgrade? I mean, we really need to have all done that we can do for this so as it's ready to go. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Harvey. That's all, Sam.
Okay, I'll take the A7 together, if that's okay, both points in relation to the A7. I will take on board the issue of the levies. I know you've raised that with me before, and we will look at that again. I have to be honest and say the A7 hasn't progressed as quickly as I would have liked it to, and we don't have the money for it yet, and really, with the staffing resources that I have at the minute, it probably hasn't moved as quickly, it hasn't moved as quickly as I would like. It's certainly on our programme to do, and we will keep trying to move it forward. The next stage of the project will be to speak to landowners. When we know we have got a potential to get funding to do the scheme, then we will not be vesting the land until we know we've got a potential funding scheme to do the work, and that's really the driver for that, and we don't have that just yet. But again, it's a good scheme which we would like to do, and it's well up there in relation to the design being complete, subject to us looking at the levies. But that's where we are with the A7. The Ballygown levies, I've asked Stephen to have a look at that, and we will come back to you on that. I'm not sure of that, what the position is with that, but we will come back on that one. Okay. I'll ask Stephen. In relation to the bypass and the procurement strategy, what is a procurement strategy? Well, we're looking at various things. As part of a scheme of this nature, we have to do archaeological investigations, geotechnical investigations, and we're trying to put together, we're doing some of that in advance, so that when we come to put the procurement strategy together and put the tender out, the contractor basically will have a clear sight, and that, you know, the contractor, you know, if we didn't do that in advance, the contractor will have to go in with a lot of unknowns, and we then leave ourselves open to what we find when we get there, and it could delay the project. So in trying to, I'm trying to take forward the bits and pieces that I can do before we get the funding. The archaeological work, the geotechnical work, we can do in advance, and I think that will really feed into the procurement strategy of how we deliver the tenders. So that's really what we mean there. We're getting as much done as we can to help inform us how we do the tendering. Park and ride in general, we are committed as a department to providing park and ride along the main arterial routes into Belfast, you know, down Patrick, the A7 route, and then the Ballinahinch route as well. So when we're looking at sites along that route, particularly in Downpatrick and one in Ballinahinch. So really are those are schemes that we have potential to get funding for, and we will keep bidding to get that funding. In relation to the funding for the bypass, you know, we will bid at all opportunities to get the money, no matter how and when that money comes. I mean, really, I've pushed the Ballinahinch bypass as being a scheme that is reasonably free from objections, and we've had a public inquiry, and we're sitting in a very, very good position. So I've always pushed that position.
Okay, thanks. So that's move on then to Sleep Gullion, DA, Councillor Hartley.
Hi, thank you, Chair. And apologies, I couldn't make the pre-meeting this morning on the Sleep Gullion area, but just this issue, and I sent it in an email, just the issue around Concession Road and the serious state that it's in, and the actual danger it is to the locals there and the high number of road users. We had the NRA did fantastic work on the Monaghan side and on the Loud side of it, and when you come into our own area, the Cullaville area, come into a road that's in a terrible state. And it's not only the state, but the road has sunk that there's an actual toll in it, and it throws the lorries out into common traffic. I invited Ian to come out himself, but I don't know whether he's going to do that or not, to meet with us and take a look at it. But it's a real dead top, you know, and it's the locals themselves are actually afraid going out on the road, and there's certain times of the day that they can't go out. Now I know that Ian says that it is a priority. It's been a priority a long time, but it's a serious danger to the people of that area, and we're actually down to pleading with you to take a look at it and try and do something with it. The other issue about already been raised about the emptying of the gullies. A lot of our roads isn't sorted during the winter time, and the gullies is blocked for a number of years. It's not that the gullies is emptied once a year. We have gullies haven't been emptied in years, and gully emptying doesn't save money. What happens when you don't empty the gullies? The silt builds up and goes down the pipes. We end up blocking up the pipes, so we don't save money. We have been to put in the proper road drainage that had been there for years. We should start to dig out the pipes to clear the pipes. So it's if anyone's coming up with that as a money saving measure, they really need to think about it. It's a money costing issue, so it is. But I don't believe that any other department where you'd be allowed to actually put people's lives at risk, where you could roads not sorted, don't clean the gullies, there's water run down the road that freezes on it, and like we have schools and churches and that, and them roads where people have to try and get to, regardless, putting their lives in danger. But It's a real act of madness. The other thing, serious concerns about, is we used to get a number of the rural roads, and it's mostly rural roads we have, but we used to get a number of them surface stressed over the summer. Like, and when you look at the list there, there's little or no roads in the Sleep Gullion area to be surface stressed. And like some of our roads, I know the Lurgan Road, the Lurgan Cullen Bible, roads like that, they just got impassable. You know, I don't know where it's all going then, but it's certainly not good for the rural people, and I think that we lost sight of their health and safety. You know, we're dealing all right with the higher numbers, but the health and safety of the people in the rural areas just has gone in the back burner, and it really, really needs to be addressed.
Councillor Byrne.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, just to follow on, just before I make my point, just on what Councillor Hertie had said, we through our DEAs and Sleep Gullion DEA seem to be compiling a list of roads over the last year and a half, and I know it's in the originally. And these roads that are in a serious condition are going onto a list, and there's nothing being done about them. You know, I'm surprised not that more roads in the Sleep Gullion area hasn't found its way onto this document for resourcing and that, because some of the roads are completely impassable. The issue I want to bring up is, and it's the issue that I get time and time and time again on the doors, and it's the speeds coming into the villages and the hamlets, and especially at schools and churches. And it's something that we had brought up through the DEA. We have spoke to yourselves about it, and it seems to be the most difficult issue to deal with, where we can flag up with yourselves where we have serious concerns. For example, the Roxburgh Road coming into Doherty, and that's lack of signage coming into that 30-mile-per-hour limit. I actually don't think there is a 30-mile-per-hour limit on it, and it comes down past the chapel. But the houses actually are right onto the road, and when the kids are going out onto the road, the cars are flying right down until they get to the T-junction at the end. And, you know, it's an accident waiting to happen. Also going past the chapel coming in by Mullaban, if you're coming from the Forkhill end, you're coming into Mullaban from a hill, and as you come round the corner and down the hill, and people have said to me, on a number of occasions, especially at mass time, going across the road, that cars are coming in there at lethal speed. Now, I understand it's a mix between policing and, you know, but it's just to get, and signage. Now, some of it is signage that can be dealt with, but surely there must be some sort of scheme we can roll out. We had asked through the DAs for some of the 30 mile per hour limit signs to be moved out, you know, because they're right on the entrance to schools and churches, you know, places where the public congregate. Moved out, where it's local knowledge and local councillors bringing that, them issues to you. We talked about, you know, the accident that was at Killeavy at Eurospar last year, where there was a serious collision, and it's at 40 mile per hour, and asked for that to be looked at. But it seems to be impossible to get anything changed. I understand it's difficult to get speeds lowered, but, you know, some speed reduction, you know, rumble strips, or even at schools, you know, the signs that flag up and tell you your speed and that. I think there's some areas that we seriously need that, because we're coming from main roads straight into the limits of a town and a hamlet, and cars are going 70 miles per hour past schools. Again, I know one of my colleagues had flagged it up, but it was said to me a number of weeks ago at the meeting this morning, probably, but just at the Chapel Road in Mike. You know, I stood in it last weekend, and cars don't hit the brakes until they're well up to the junction. You know, and you're passing the church there as well, where people are going. So I'd like to see some sort of scheme, something to be done to try and tackle this. Because if it is a policing issue, then it's never going to be sorted. And we're going to be sitting here saying, listen, we said time and time again there was an issue with speed at spot X, Y, and Z, and now there's a serious accident or a fatal accident, and now we're going to look to do something about it. So I'd like to see some sort of scheme to address the speeding and pass, especially churches and schools. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Pete. Okay, then. Simon?
Okay, Councillor Hardy, in relation to Concession Road, Ian, we'll have a look at that with you, and we'll see what we need. We think it is a big costly scheme, so again, we'll have to look at that and try and look at it. But certainly, I think if we can get out and have a look at it, and we'll certainly listen to what you have to say. Your point about the gullies not saving money, and the fact that particularly in rural areas that could lead us to water on the road not being salted, I will take that back to the hierarchy within the department as a very well made point. Pardon? Well, I think we have to listen to everyone. I mean, it's come. You've raised this with me before, and it's obviously a very important issue to you. And you know, I get it. I get what you're saying to me. I mean, the gully cleaning. This whole limited service that we're providing is, as I said in my opening notes, is a concern to us. We do know what the impact it's having, and that you highlighted it in very great detail there. So we do know, and I will raise that. Service dressing is a very important function that we carry out on rural roads. It does. I know people don't like it, particularly when it's just down and there's lots of stones about, but it is a really, really effective mechanism for saving the road. There were a number of schemes that weren't completed this year in your area, and that was due to a very unfortunate fatal incident at one of the surface dressing sites, which resulted in a number of schemes not being completed. But schemes that weren't completed this year, we will pick up for next year and make sure that they'll, because it is a very important piece of work. In relation to speed, Kieran McKenna, who I know you raised this with this morning, did speak to me after it, and said that this was a recurring concern raised by yourself and a number of councillors. We are going to go away and have a look. I know that there's speeding concerns, and I mean we're all, you know, the enforcement authorities, which are the police, and ourselves, which is the roads authority. You know, the positioning of speed limits is very important, and we have to get agreement going forward. It's not just a case of we put it where we think it's going to make a difference, and I know that's very frustrating for councillors and for members of the public. Well, why don't you just move it out another 100 yards and it could make all the difference. It's not always like that. You know, if the sign's in the wrong place, people won't adhere to it. And the story that you're telling us, people aren't adhering to the signs anyway. So we may need to look at it in a bigger picture. It may not, you know, again, it's all funding related. If we come up with a magical scheme that we could introduce at the entrance to all villages, again, there's a cost involved in that, and I know you're going to turn around to me and say, what's the cost of a child's life? And obviously that's you don't compare those, but I think it's something we're going to have to look at. There may be certain circumstances rather than a global solution. There may be some of the locations that you point out which we may be able to do something with.
and we will look at that. And Kieran has said to me this morning that he will look at those.
Just one brief point on that. Thanks. And I suppose if we can do everything that we or yourselves can do, I know there's a lot of it in policing. I know, you know, if you had police every road, that's not the issue I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is lack of signage, especially if you look at the Roxburgh Road coming into Dorset. You know, the lack of signage there is definitely an issue, and the speed of cars coming in. And, you know, people say to me, what do you have to do to get a ramp? You know, and every time someone comes to me, and I understand at times where we get people asking for ramps in places where it would be counterproductive, but what do you have to do to get a ramp at schools or at estates or whatever? You know, and they're pretty much saying, we'll only look at this when somebody is killed. And I'm not flagging up every spot in Sleaf Bullion and every school. I'm flagging up some areas that there is serious concerns. And I think in this department, if we can do everything that we can on our end, and then, listen, we can shout and make noise about it for the policing end, separate from that, but we should be doing everything we can so the signage is up to speed. It's there, it's visible. It's out from the primary schools and that. Most of the schools on the edge of the town, and the signage is right on top of them. And also, I would like to know what you have to do to get a speed ramp out of school, if you could even answer or give me some information on that now. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. Sam.
I mean, speed ramps are traffic calming measures, and in years gone by, we had a significant programme of traffic calming measures, which we've done right across all council areas. When we amalgamated this council area and put all the traffic calming requests together, we were somewhere in the region of 400 requests for traffic calming schemes, roughly. Roughly in that region, and we do one or two a year. That's the level of funding that we have available to us to deliver traffic calming schemes. So ramps may or may not be the way forward, and you can get objections to ramps as well. I mean, we need to look at individual cases, and we're happy to do that, and I think that's probably the best approach. We would try and look at the sites that would concern you most, and we try and deal with that. But that's the level of, in relation to traffic calming, that's the level of the request. And the level of provision, it's really only the top priority ones will get it.
Okay, thanks for that, Sam. I move on to Mourns, DA Milne, keep the best wine to last. How's it going, Chris Riley?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairman, and thank you to the Department of Roads and Rivers for the report. The quality of the roads in Mourne from we last met have deteriorated to such a degree it's frightening. And, you know, it really is a cause of concern for the likes of myself and Glenn Hanna whenever we lift the paper every week and glaring out from the pages are Terry Andrews and Billy Water getting work done, getting micro schemes done, and we can't get a pothole filled. And you really do, Chairman, have to ask. You really do have to ask, you know, why is this? What's the reason for this? Regardless of how many times we phone in, email in, we're just told no money, sorry. You know, there's no such thing as coming down, having a site meeting with us, explaining situations to us. I thought it was, you know, is there a huge discrepancy in the way the budgets are allocated between the Eastern Division and the Southern Division? Because, you know, certainly I have, with the support of some of my colleagues, asked for the Mourns legacy area to be transferred into Eastern because it definitely does seem to be able to make best use of its resources. The A2 between Newcastle and Kilkeel, just incredibly bad. And if you speak to the people from the south who are using the new ferry service, without exception, they tell you that they just cannot believe the condition of the roads between or within the Kingdom of Mourne area, as I call it. It's actually putting people off coming back here. The roads are so bad. The caravan users, the people in campervans and that type of thing, they're actually put off by the state of the roads. Rockwell Collins, which was previously BE Aerospace, they've now 1,000 employees, and you know they're equally dispersed throughout. But a lot of them will use the A2 either from Restrepo in or Newcastle in, and it's just a continual ongoing complaint. You know, how come is it once you get to this side of Newcastle, the Kilkeel side, the roads are so bad? Why is nobody doing anything about it? Whenever we continually ask to try and get some investment into the area. In terms of potholes, you know, I wish some of you would come down and just take a drive around the rural roads. And, you know, we're told that there are resources to at least fill potholes, but we're not getting any of that resource. Absolutely none. And roads that were hatched and surface stressed last year, you know, many of those roads are just back as bad as the way they were before. Now, there was a big, big thing happened to us in Mourne. We got the Mill Road resurfaced. You know, and there was people come from all over the kingdom to look at it. It was the first time they'd seen a new road done in years, and we were so pleased with it. But, all joking aside, there does seem to be some serious discrepancy in the way funds are administered. Whenever Terry Andrews and Billy Walker and his colleagues up here can seem to get bits and pieces done, whereas we're told, no, forget about it. So, I would like to know, how are budgets administered? And I know on Sunday I was sitting in the house and was watching a replay of the Northern Ireland Select Committee, and Brolinshire did say, he did indicate at one stage that they would like to allocate more money to roads infrastructure because of the lack of investment in Northern Ireland over the years. And if there is no budget set, would it be worthwhile, Liam, to ask for a meeting with the Permanent Secretary and senior roads people to see, can we get some additional funding down in here? Because our roads are definitely substandard, and we need to do something about it. Street lighting, road markings, potholes, rural roads, all those issues need sorted. But it's the funding issue. The old legacy area definitely, instead of being central within the new council, we seem to be in the periphery of both areas, and we're losing out everywhere. But I would like an answer, Simon. Is there how are the budgets administered? Are they done per mile or per kilometre, or how does it work? Because we're definitely not getting our fair share. Thank you.
Councillor McCauley.
Yes, thank you very much for your report this evening, Simon, and I'd like to wish Ian all the best in his new role. I have a list here, so apologies I didn't get to the meeting this morning, just with regards to the Mourne area, as well as another meeting to go to. So, road signs at Spelga, really from Spelga, the edge of Spelga right up to the junction of the Moyad Stephen the Man Road, a lot of the road signage there has been vandalised, and that's an ongoing issue there. There's holes in it and sort of painted over and maybe signs turned round and stuff. So a lot of tourists are coming up to the Spelga Dam tourist spot and things like that and seeing that. And it's something that really maybe would like to be noted. That's the second summer really that nothing has been done on that. From Castlewellan Road, the Frylands and the Cavan Road junction, it's really on the boundary of our council area. Cavan Road Junction eastwards to the Ballacastone Road. Both the road surface and the footway particularly is very unsafe and unusable for any sort of walkers, never mind a dog or a pram or anything with them at certain spots, with it being so overgrown with silt and weeds on the curb as well. Cavan Road itself, actually the gullies were cleaned out there recently, so that was good, and some of the residents did say to me then about that, so that was good. Road signage as well, maybe for Kilkeel Town, if just Henry mentioned the ferry terminal and tourists coming up into the area, if you're coming from the Greencastle Pier Road to the Bainer Road, just that junction, there's nothing really to say where Kilkeel is, so they're sort of driving along, maybe assuming where they're going until they get to a main road, so maybe better signage coming from the ferry terminal for Kilkeel Town itself. Analong Village as well, I've met with different residents about this, just that drop curbs the whole length of the village, the mountain side of the A2 would be from maybe Monydara Road to the school. A lot of pedestrians and young parents are coming with school children from local estates and things, and they're coming with prams and they have to go out onto the main road, you know, for that. I know the coastal side of that, the road has been done before, but this is an issue that maybe would maybe looked at as well. And just to reiterate then Henry's point then, just the A2, the Coast Road, and Moyad Road, the resurfacing of those as well. So that's all my complaints tonight.
Thanks, Rachel. Councillor Quinn.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just start to add to that list. Because we've had several storms very recently that you referred to, is there any chance that some of your engineers could do a further inspection on the Restrava Road, just on the Kilkee side of Restrava, where we did have a cave in about a number of years ago, to see that that road is still safe for some of the very heavy traffic that uses it? I just come down with this. I've already said Tully Frame Road needs servicing, as was the Mayotte Road. The Denaval Road on the way to Cranfield, the surface of it is atrocious. And, you know, there's a lot of cyclists come biking forward to the caravans and biking forward to the ferry, and it's very dangerous. A number of them have had falls going along that road. Then onto the Head Road, and the surface of it in places is very bad. But also to consider it as part of the winter salting scheme, because there's a number of school buses and buses for disabled people to get to their centres and that, using that road, and it's very dangerous for them. Also, the footpath between Bully Mountain Village and Kilkee, there's only a small piece of footpath required. It gets past Bully Mountain GA Field, and there's several caravan sites along there, and a lot of pedestrians using that bit of road, but it's so dangerous with no footpath. Some of it has very broad grass verges now since the bit of work was done there, but with the long grass on them, there's a big risk of children tripping in the long grass and falling out into traffic. We badly need a footpath along there. Also, Kitty's Road and the Valley Road. Well, Kitty's Road have been waiting for the ramps for some 10, almost 15 years now, since Councillor Mickey Cole was on council. The Valley Road, it's a smaller road because down past a play park, a GA field, and a number of housing estates, and leads onto a road with a 50 mile an hour speed limit on it. Yet it has a 60 mile an hour speed limit on it, the national speed limit. And there are some people who are even exceeding that speed limit on that road. So it's very dangerous for young people going between the football field and the play park. They're on opposite sides of the road. And for young people walking up to those couple of estates from school, there's a few bad corners on it, and a very dangerous road. Also, then to follow Jill's direction, at the Essa Spalga, is there any chance that we could consider putting crash barriers on the Essa Spalga? It's a very dangerous road, and there's roads that there's no risk, and it's particularly for farmers going to Sailors and Hilltown with large sailors of stout towing them behind them. And it's not really them's fault. It's when we have visitors here and who don't know the road and are going up around the S and stray across the white line. A number of farmers have come to me and told me how close they have come with carloads of visitors and tourists who just don't know the road and don't allow for their vehicles on the road. And my last point is a general overall point for the Mourns, is the aging of our roads, particularly the rural ones, and our footpaths. An awful lot of our footpaths are not fit for young mothers and families to take prams along, and for elderly with walkers who are out trying to get a bit of exercise to increase the mobility. The ages have grown out that far. The footpaths are now just too narrow. The footpaths would be wide enough if that grass was cut back. Thank you.
Okay, Brian.
Oh, sorry, I missed one, Chair. It's the main Newcastle Road. It's already been referred to by some. The gullies of it are forever flattened, flooding, and not a lot of surface water during times of storm. But I also want to go back to what I mentioned to you before. There was plans to do that road some 50 odd years ago. As was mentioned by my colleague, it was the same time as the Warren Point Dual Carriageway. Have you been able to find out any? Do the drawings still exist? Have they gone into the Charlesbourg Room? I know now there was one man left in the Craig Avenue office. I've heard he has since retired, who remembered the existence of the said drawings. There is only a few men who were involved in the lobbying for that road and the designs at the time. There's only about two of them left alive who want to go to see them.
All right, thanks, Ben.
Thank
not
you.
Sure about the Carlsberg Room, probably the Baby Sham Room. I have a few points to make, and I'm not getting into the small issues. I email them over to you. In regards to, I suppose, the Bloody Bridge, the reason I want to raise this is because it's a council car park, and there's an issue with parking out on the main road. So I think I'd like to propose we have a meeting. We keep coming here and talking about it, but nothing seems to happen. And I'm not blaming any, you know, side in regards to that. The road service has been up and monitored and looked at it. But I think there has to be a solution found, because it is a dangerous site. And I suppose moving on, the Donard Access Project, we're going to improve the facility, the attraction at Bloody Bridge, and you're obviously going to increase the amount of traffic coming to that down. So from a council perspective, van transport, NI, or road service, or whatever we call these, there's a need to get a meeting and see if we can resolve the issues. That probably leads on to the next point, is in regards to traffic congestion in Newcastle. Again, if we're serious about the gondola project and the Donard Access project, I know feasibility studies will be shortly be carried out or began in regards to looking at the traffic management going into Newcastle. And there is a need for park and ride currently. Heather touched on it briefly in our workshop, but I never got really into any detail in regards to this. And I suppose overall then, the in around that roundabout, there was a bit of work carried out there, and I haven't yet seen that bit of work. And maybe at a future DEA meeting, maybe we get a bit of a discussion about that work in general and about that whole, park and ride and congestion and whatever, and how we move forward together in regards to it. You mentioned, Simon, about the response to the flooding and the storms, and I do congratulate your staff and all staff, council staff, and all Blue Light staff and Rivers Agency, and for their response. But it's just in regards to coastal flooding, and your guys were quick enough out and put sandbags along the rock area of South Promenade in Newcastle. But it's about maybe, having a broader discussion. This area floods all the time, every time there's southeasterly. With high tides and surges, if there's a possibility looking at putting adaptations onto them properties, like plastic barriers, where they can be installed very quickly by the tenant, because obviously they're not going to protect a dozen homes. They're not going to put a big coastal defence into place in that area. So I think this might be a cheap alternative that we should investigate. It would reduce the amount of resources needed, from our staff and your staff and Rivers Agency, where if residents could just put their adaptations into place, it would make a bit of sense. As I said, the rest of the stuff I'm going to leave, just in regards to, we're talking about speed and Council Byrne and other councils touched on it. There was a fatality there at the harbour area in Newcastle, Jeff.